Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots beat the visiting Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday, 24-20, the final score. Even though they were down for much of the game, down 10 points with 9 minutes left. Deion Lewis.
That's great, man. You know, everybody believes in each other, man. It's a family. You know, we work extremely hard together. You know, all the blood, sweat, and tears we put together since, you know, July. You know, before that, actually, since April. So, you know, just to come together as a team.
Come together as a team, and as a team, they will travel to Minneapolis. The Super Bowl a week from Sunday, where they will face the Philadelphia Eagles, who easily took care of the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. The Celtics lost another home game, three straight at home. This time yesterday to the Orlando Magic, 103-95. Magic haven't won a game in the TD Garden in their last 15 tries, but they did it yesterday. Celtics now head out on the road to take on the Lakers, beginning of a four-game road trip tomorrow night. Bruins took care of the Canadiens again over the weekend on Saturday night. They're off tonight. Tomorrow night, they'll play host to the New Jersey Devils. Headlines are brought to you by the Boston Area Campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Go to csb.com for more details. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
98.5 The Sports Hub gets you up.
Hello, Mr. Danny.
Good morning.
I'm not telling you anything you didn't know.
Gets you home.
They don't have a dominating personality.
Not the team thinks he's going to be special.
Toucher and Rich.
Felger and Mad.
98.5
The Sports Hub.
Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Under center this time is Brady. James White, the running back. Play fake. Brady looks. Lots of time. Fires to the back of the end zone. And that ball is caught for the touchdown. Who else? Danny Amendola. Got both feet down, covered by Deshaun Gibson. And the Patriots have taken the lead. Their first lead since the very early moments of the game.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Play it again. Play it again,
because
Jim. That's worthy of a second play.
Creeping.
Let's do it again.
Under center this time is Brady.
It's great quality.
James White, the running back. Play fake. Brady looks. Lots of time. Fires to the back of the end zone. And that ball is caught for the touchdown. Who else? Danny Amendola. Got both feet down. Covered by Deshaun Gibson. And the Patriots have taken the lead. Their first lead since the very early moments of the game.
That's brilliant. If you couldn't tell by the 68,000 fans who are erupting with joy, that was a touchdown.
Dude, did they do that with their windows closed?
Amendola again. It sounds a little weird. Yeah, a little different. Maybe.
It sounds like it's in a closet.
They may have their windows closed.
They were bitching about the heaters in the booth,
right? Of course they were. I'm like, you got have them. Take them. 50 degrees outside.
God, they're just complainers.
All right, so tell us, what was your issue with Bisselli? Because I'm there after halftime.
I like Pacelli. I deal with Pacelli. I see him a lot on the national
It seems
stuff.
Like you liked him a lot yesterday.
Then he like jumps
comes in.
Your tight end's not coming back. It's at halftime. Like, oh, really? I think it's funny. And then your punk safety dancing all over him. Guess that wasn't. Yeah, that wasn't taunting or anything. Well, it's clean. It's clean shot. Clean shot. Helmet to helmet. Launches up to hit him.
Yeah.
And, like, he's not a low guy, and he wasn't bent over.
So you're mad at Pacelli about this. Wasn't there another comment about PI?
Another ridiculous call on Bouye on Cooks. I go, are you watching the same game I'm watching? He goes, yeah, what do you mean?
I don't think that's how he phrased it. Zone goes, oh, that's funny. You and I must be watching different games.
Yeah, and I slammed the door and went in ours.
And so slams the door, and he's irate, screaming and yelling about Tony Bisselli. The Patriots are losing. So that obviously didn't help.
Bouye was holding him for about 40 yards.
Hardy, Zoe was hot. He was hot.
Just smarmy. It was smarmy.
Did you make up?
Yeah.
You did?
He was laughing after,
You saw him after the game?
Yeah, yeah, he's fine. We're fine.
You weren't fine at halftime.
I wasn't fine at halftime. A lot of things going on.
You were genuinely pissed off.
I didn't like the way
guy.
It was going.
You were genuinely upset at what had happened in the hallway.
I didn't think you should be laughing.
That's funny. You must be watching different games. You watch the same game I'm watching?
Open your eyes, you freak.
What are you looking at?
CT.
It was awesome. I was loving it.
Because I knew Gronk wasn't coming back. Like, you knew.
So it comes in with a...
Oh, his return's questionable. Oh, okay.
Cup of chili in one hand, right? Back to the cup of chili. And he comes up behind Bob, and he's barking already. We're like, what is going on? And then I think it may have, like, startled Bob. Like, oh, what happened? And he's like, Baselli! Baselli! What happened with Tony Baselli? What happened, Bob? Oh! It was awesome. I'm not going to lie.
I'm like, how much time I have left I got to do to read?
So was so mad at him. So mad.
Ugh.
But yeah, terrible take on his part.
Yeah.
And to go to this Rob Gronkowski hit, which we've heard, oh, what do you want him to do? Hit him in the knees? No, I want him to hit him anywhere between the neck and the knees.
Do what Earl Thomas did.
Is Rob Gronkowski not big enough that you could have hit him?
Earl Thomas is half the size of Church. Half the size. Short little safety. And what'd he do? Boom. Stunned him. Hit him square right in the chest. That's where you hit him.
I mean, now with the concussion protocol, the league is trying to do that for the long-term health of their players. But in the short term, in the course of a game, it now just makes it more enticing
but smart
for
gamble.
A defensive player. It's, right. It's enticing
so what?
To
you
say,
give up a 15-yarder, take a guy out? Sure, we'll do it.
If there's a tight end or a receiver or a back or whoever that's in a vulnerable spot and he's a key player like Rob Gronkowski is, as you heard, the game plan went out the window when Gronkowski left the game. That is absolutely worth your time to try and go helmet to helmet and blow up Rob Gronkowski. So if you're asking me why the guy did it, you saw why he did it. Is that worth 15 yards? Of course it is.
Do that every time.
It's like a 15-yard penalty for knocking that guy out of the game every single weekend if you could.
The college has got it down. That targeting, that launching stuff at helmet to helmet, it's an automatic ejection. Boom, you're gone. Disqualified.
Well, I would put it like this. If the concussion keeps the player out of the game,
you're gone.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you're going to sit out the rest of the game too. If a guy's ruled out,
if your actions,
ruled out.
Yeah, if your actions...
If it's flagged on the field and you
that's
get a penalty
point.
For it.
By the independent neurologist, right?
Yes.
Because if the team start deciding that stuff,
right.
Then if there's an all-pro safety that hits a fourth receiver, you're going to take the guy out of the game and
no,
to get
someone
the all-pro
independent.
Safety out.
Someone independent. Can't be a team. Team can't get into that crap. But it was so obvious. You saw Rob Gronkowski get up, and I was saying, I don't know how much of this made it on TV, but if you were in the stadium and you saw him, you knew he was cooked.
He's done.
You knew
Rubber.
He was done for the day.
The reason I could see why people thought it wasn't a dirty hit is because Gronk's so powerful that he still went through Church, even though Church delivered the blow. That's Brandon Cooks. He gets ragdolled. And it's a
probably
it's,
broken in half,
it's
right?
Looked, it's looked like one of the all-time worst hits if that was Brandon Cooks.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big difference between the guy you hit.
Again, he went upwards. He didn't duck his shoulder and go into him.
No, he launched the helmet.
He went up.
Yeah, he went up.
That is launching.
He elevated himself.
So it's not a bang-bang close play there. That is illegal. Can't do it.
That's why it was flagged.
That's the stuff Brandon Merriweather used to do. Remember Todd Heap from Baltimore?
Oh, yes.
That's the Brandon Merriweather
play. He did that crap then.
Yeah.
Called up Brandon Merriweather for it then. He was a dirty player. There's a difference between being just a dirty player and then being a good player who also plays dirty.
If you repetitively do that,
yeah,
then it becomes an issue in the league. Yeah.
617-779-0985. Anthony in Hingham has a comment on Tony Baselli.
Yeah, Tony Baselli. Haven't heard that name in a little bit, but is he like the Zoe of Jacksonville?
No.
Is that what? No.
He does a lot of he does a lot of national radio too.
He was a great player.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He was a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Bad opinions though. Bad takes. Bad takes. Not a Hall of Fame radio guy. Mm-mm. Nope. You talked to Jeff Lagerman at all?
I did not.
When he was in the booth?
I saw him there, too. Yeah, no, did not.
As Chris Gasper said yesterday, that's a guy I'd like to go have a beer with. Seems like he's got some good stories or
Lagerman.
Something.
Yeah. It's been around.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Know him at all?
Not really. No, I know Baselli more because of the relationship with Harlow.
Yeah.
Messy.
Okay. The CBS Sports Minute right now is John Feinstein. In talking about a pro sports team, at least he's talking pros and not college, but he's talking about a professional sports franchise
sports.
That is currently in turmoil. Who is it?
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So you got to ask the defense one more time to get a stop here. He may need to do it with a three and out. Big stop by the defense and a Danny Amendola punt return.
Amendola to run up and make the catch from the 50. Left to the 45, to the 40. Amendola to the 35, 30. Danny Amendola on the return. Set up by the defense. Puts the Patriots at the Jaguars 30-yard line. Shotgun snap to Brady. Backs up. Screens it left for James White. Heads up here past the 25-20. White to the 15-yard line. Shotgun snap to Brady. Backs up. Looks down the middle. Throws down the middle. Amendola makes the catch on a dirt. Just beyond the reach of Colvin. And takes the snap. He play fakes to White. Stands in the end zone. He looks down the middle. He fires and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola. Touchdown. Patriots.
It's a catch.
He made the grab just inside the end line. And New England is taking the lead.
I love Tom Brady.
AT&T fan line. Let's get right back at it with you with Jeff in the car. Jeff.
Hello.
Hi. Really smooth until
Hi, Jeff.
We didn't get Jeff. Jeff!
Jesse, this is Jesse.
Oh, Jesse.
Oh, hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to talk about a turning point I don't think anybody's really discussing. Is that fourth and a half yard in the fourth quarter? Why did Doug Marrone decide to punt the ball instead of having somebody fall a half yard forward? He could have held the ball for at least another 3-4 minutes and kept it out of Tom's hands.
It was in your own territory.
Well,
they get Brady the ball at the 40, you're screwed.
They've been doing that all season, all playoff long, though.
Yeah, but I mean,
they were at the Jacksonville 42 when that happened.
Yeah,
you had a 10-point lead. That's why.
You put it away.
You were up 10, and you didn't need to go for it there. Yeah. You were up 10.
You're in control of the game at that point. And you play the percentages there. You play field position.
Up 10, going for it on 4th and 1 from your own 42? No.
Putter was booming it, too.
No. Yeah. I'll tell you this, though. They got a generous spot on the previous play, which was when Hearns picked up 7, according to the officials on the field. That was when he got ruled forward progress. They were pushing him back.
Yeah.
They got a really generous spot on that.
Yeah, it was close. It should have been like 4th and 2, or 4th and 2.
It should have been
a
full 2, 2 and a half, and it turned into like less than 1.
Yeah, I was.
I thought the spot was so good, and I saw where the referee or one of the judges was going to mark it. I thought, oh my god, are they going to like give him the first down? And then they didn't. It was still short, but that was a very, very generous spot on that play. Dan and Cranston, hi Dan.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So you ready to get the duck boats out? Let's go.
No, we don't talk about that yet.
So I think after the church hit, they should really look at a rule that if you eliminate a player and are called for a personal foul, that you leave the game as well. You know, I know we already have the 2 penalty you're removed from the game, but it seemed like something that was orchestrated on Church's part or even between him and Ramsey, like, hey, what are we going to do about Gronk? You know, let's see if we can take him out of the game and get him in concussion protocol. But, you know, I wake up today and I'm also looking at, Jags team complaining about a holding call and the White touchdown, a referee celebrating with the Patriots. Is this just, you know, bad blood at the end of the game, or is there something to home calls?
I mean, there is something to home field advantage. I don't think, and I know a lot of people are getting on Cleet Blakeman, too, for going and patting Brady on the back at the end of the game. Game's over. I don't think any of Cleet Blakeman's calls affected. If anything, I had issues with him, you know, with the play clock and, you know, letting him play. I thought they let the physical contact play downfield.
Do you know what the Patriots' record is in Cleet Blakeman officiated games?
Including, it was 2-4, so now it's 3-4.
I think it was 1-4.
Oh,
yeah.
Might now be two. I thought it was 2-4.
It's either 2-4 or 3-4.
Below 500.
Huge disparity as opposed to what the Patriots have done over the last 15, 16, 17 years and what the games that he refs end up being.
I don't know why they were bitching about And I don't remember any real Jacksonville receivers downfield to where they were getting roughed up or hit. Like, do you recall anywhere? Like, well, there was one where Patrick Chung, I think, got there early on. I may have been a tight end or one of the underneath guys. That's the only time I said, ooh, kind of got away with one there. But other than that, I don't remember Jacksonville bitching about this, that, or the other stuff downfield. If anything, they were roughing up the Patriot receivers downfield. Gronkowski was getting held all day.
74 was holding on the offensive line all day, too. They weren't calling anything either way.
The holding up front yesterday was nonstop. They could have called holding on it. I mean, you know, you say that. Oh, they call holding on every play in the NFL. The Jaguars were egregious. They had egregious examples of holding.
It didn't feel
that
like that
never
crew,
got flagged.
It didn't feel like that crew was, like, throwing stuff against them, like on with intent. No, never felt like that. I don't know. Hey, when you play aggressive and that's the way it is, that's they get used to calling a certain style against that type of team. And that's why it reminded me of the Baltimore Raven games. When the Ravens came in here and did all that. I don't know. I didn't think Blakeman was an issue. I don't have a problem patting Brady on the back at the end of the game. That's, hey, you work in this league long enough and those guys come and go and you see him, you know, phase out. This guy's been doing it for 18 years. Why wouldn't you tap him on the back? Who knows if he's going to retire after this? You don't know that. A lot of things could have been going through Blakeman's head. I have an issue with him patting Brady. So you got eliminated there. What if he patted Bortles? Would you be sitting here bitching about that today? No.
Nope.
No.
Sam in New Hampshire wants to talk. Rob Gronkowski.
What do you got, Sam?
Hey guys, how you doing? I'm still coming down from the high from yesterday, so it was a real great game. I got to catch the second half, unfortunately, while I was at work. But at work, there was nobody there, so it was pretty good. Anyway, on Gronk, I'm not too worried about the concussion, only because it's not like back in 2011 when he had his ankle twisted. At least with the concussion, you know that if he's going to come back, he's going to be at least, you know, healthy to play and not be able to be hindered by a bad ankle or anything like that. So I'm kind of, I know it doesn't sound like the good thing, but I feel like I'm more believe that it's not an ankle or anything like that where it's going to affect him
right. Going
down the field and getting a pass. But I want to get into one other thing. I was listening to the post-game press conference last night, mm-hmm. Or the post-game show you did last night. You had a caller who, for some reason, brought up Marky Mark. And I don't know why this brought me back to, like, the beginning of the year where they had
the Funky Bunch?
They had Mark Wahlberg introduce the Patriots at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, the guy who left the Super Bowl got to introduce
Why on earth did they bring him in when, you know, there's a bigger actor than him right now? I don't know. You ever heard, you know the guy Chris Evans?
Will Ferrell?
From Massachusetts? No, Chris Evans. He plays Captain America in the Marvel movies. He was at the game the whole time. They should have got him.
Is he friends with Robert Kraft? Because that's what the prerequisites are.
Krafts are tight with the Wahlbergs.
You got to be friends with ownership.
I think it would have been better if they got him because Chris Evans, I feel like, is a bigger fan than Mark Wahlberg. He's a
probably.
Fan.
Probably, but this is not.
Not a lot of people recognize Chris Evans.
This is not any sort of meritocracy.
No, it's got nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, it's not based on merit. It's based on who you're friends with.
My son, Bob!
It's all about who you're friends with.
Tell you what.
He's friends with ownership, so he gets to do it.
It's good seeing Bon Jovi yesterday.
Guy who bailed on the game. And you know what? I've heard his reasoning now that he's fully admitted what it was, which was his kid was throwing a meltdown, and I don't even blame him. He said his kid was embarrassing him. Had to get out of there.
It is great, though. He was the star of that movie with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Oh, Vinny
Papali. Yeah. That was why someone had brought it up last night. They said they should dress up
maybe,
like him and show up at the game.
Maybe he's sitting in Jeffrey Lurie's box.
Point was. Right. Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something along those lines. Something. That's what the call was about. Hardy has our headlines. You ready to do some headlines, Hardy?
Yeah. Got Amendola talking about his game-winning touchdown. You want to hear that?
What'd he say?
We'll find out in about 20 seconds.
Let's do it.
That's my son, Bob.
Sports Hub Headlines.
One of two touchdowns for Danny Amendola yesterday. The game winner in the 24-20 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC Championship game at Gillette Stadium. Danny, tell us all about it.
The go-ahead touchdown play we worked. I've scored on it a couple times this year, I think, actually. And it's just, I have a crosser in the back of the end zone. Tommy reads the first whip route on the left to Cookie. And then if he doesn't have it, then, you know, his eyes come to me in the back. So we had it, and it was a zone coverage, but I didn't see what happened to Cookie on the first read, and then Tommy had a great ball. I knew it was coming right by that backer or safety right in the back, so it was a great throw.
Indeed it was. As I said, that made the score 24-20, and that it remained for the AFC title for the Patriots, and will now travel to Minneapolis. Super Bowl a week from Sunday against the Eagles, as they scored 38 unanswered points last night in the 38-7 win over the Minnesota Vikings in Philadelphia. Kyrie Irving dropped 40 on the Orlando Magic yesterday, but it wasn't enough. 103-95 the final. Celtics drop a third straight game. They will open up a West Coast road trip tomorrow night against the Lakers. Headlines are brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Matthew Lepresti, the hair doctors of Chris Gronkowski. 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Down 20-10. Tom Brady and the Pats have come back. He drops to the knee on this, the 24th anniversary of the day Robert Kraft purchased the Patriots. Robert Kraft, along with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, have their 27th playoff win and their 8th conference championship together. And they're bound for Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis against the Eagles.
We got a lot of guys that really fight, that never give up. That know how to play good situational football, and I'm really proud of these players.
Coach says, it's all about our story and what this team can do, and we had to write our own story tonight.
And now we have to go to Minnesota and finish the job.
School! What up, Minnesota? How bad is that, though?
You know what we're going to do every time we...
The host city for
every
the Philadelphia
Eagles. Every
time we get
a cab out there, or, you know, we're checking in at the hotel, I'm going to say, really wish we were playing your Vikings this weekend. You know, really, don't even... I'm not going to taunt them, I'm going to remind them how sad it is that your team didn't make it.
Now they got to watch the Philadelphia Eagles signage all over their city.
I'm going to remind you, many Minnesotans
right.
About their
They're
loss.
All going to be Patriots fans. They're not going to want the Eagles to win.
That's true.
It's salt in the wound, man.
Those are going to be our people. We're going to make friends with the Minnesota people.
We're going to embrace them. We're going to take them in, even though we're going into their city. They take us in.
Right.
Be brethren.
Right.
Do a little ice fishing. So the CBS affiliate out there is constructing an ice house on top of their building, which is going to have a curling little thing. And like, why would you want to stay in an ice house? It's cold. I guess that's the thing to do, right? They do it here. Like, they have all those carvings, you know, like, what is that, at the New Year's? First night, whatever they call it.
Is that ice sculptures?
Yeah. But they do, like, the ice houses downtown. They did a couple of those.
Okay.
Like, who wants to, like, okay, hey, put a jacket on. Let's go stay in an ice house. The nice house. Yeah. Curling would be cool. Like, to throw that thing. Roll that down, get you out in front.
Okay. Let's get to this audio from Bill Belichick after the game last night when he was being asked about Tom Brady's hand injury.
Can you just speak to the resourcefulness of Tom dealing with something like that midweek? And then coming out and playing a huge game like that?
I mean, look, Tom did a great job, and he's a tough guy. We all know that, all right? But I'm not talking about open-heart surgery here.
Just downplaying it.
Why do you think he said that?
He's downplaying it.
Why, though?
Why does it need to be downplayed? What would be
I just think it's his natural way of, you know, when you start to talk about one player to where, boy, I really sucked it up, or the legend grows. You know, it's just Tim keeping Brady in check.
Is it about keeping Brady in check, or is it about not letting another player get annoyed that's playing with an injury, saying, oh, I'll come out, you know, what? I get no love for playing through my injuries?
It's part of it, too.
The quarterback does? Is it that? Or is it just Bill Belichick is tired of hearing about Tom Brady's hand?
No. That too, maybe. I think it's, I mean, the pregame scene was unreal. Everybody was down to that end. I had the live mic. We're waiting for it to come out. When he came out, you saw he didn't have anything on that hand. And, you know, they blow that whistle, and then, you know, PSA is played with Jay-Z, and it's like, oh, my God, he has nothing on his hand. Everybody's like, he's going to have a brace. Is he going to have the glove? Will he cut the fingers off the glove? There was talk of having the, you know, the weight room glove.
Yeah, Bert was on that. Fingerless gloves.
Yeah, no. No. And first pass he threw, he zung it right in there, and you're like, okay, he's good. But then he started to see him labor a little bit with it once he tucks it in. And, you know, when he would go to the sideline after a couple series and you see them working on it, so you could tell maybe, uh-oh, something came loose. So you're watching. Then you saw Hoyer warming up the one time. It was something to monitor throughout the course of the game. I just think Bill's trying not to.
Is it a clash of egos?
I don't think he's letting it get, you know, dramatized to the point where this thing's going to, you know, just continue to be talked about week after week. He's getting his stitches out, I think, Wednesday or Thursday.
He said middle of the week.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to get their egos checked in and try to hold it together.
There it is.
It's all part of it. Yeah.
A little bit of ego there.
Yeah, sure.
Because everyone wants to heap all kinds of praise on Brady for playing through the injury, and there's Bill annoyed with the questions about Tom.
Tom versus time. That's going to be one of the segments.
Tom versus Bill. Tom versus Bill would be this episode, not Tom versus time. And all these promos that Brady keeps putting out, there's one where it's Tom versus the 40, where he runs a 40. And, right? Tom versus something. This one's Tom versus Bill. 617-779-0985. Carlton in Tampa's on the line. What do you got on the refs today, Carlton? You upset about all those penalties for Jacksonville?
I got four things that happened in Q4 that Bill Belichick doesn't want to talk about. At the 13:37 mark, Miles Jack recovers a fumble, was incorrectly ruled down by the refs when he wasn't touched by a single Patriot after gaining possession, and that would have put the Jags up 27-10 because he was unobstructed for the touchdown down the sideline. At the 13-minute mark, Patrick Chung mugs Mercedes Lewis.
Yes, he did. Yes, you're right on that one. Yep.
Killed a Jag.
That's one the Patriots got away with.
Why are you yelling?
At 10:40. Oh, all right, I'll be softer. Okay, Zolak. At 10:41.
You sound like Murray now.
At 10:41, Cameron Fleming hauls down Marcel Darius on the third down and 18 completion by Brady, extending the Patriots' drive. And at 6:21, the second blatant pass interference call that should have been called on Patrick Chung on Mercedes Lewis, killing another Jaguars' drive. Just little things to overlook. Like, you know, the refs calling one penalty on the Patriots for 10 yards on the Jaguars
for 98. All right, so if everything you say is true, that all these things happened and contributed to the Patriots winning, do you think that there was a conspiracy for that to be the case?
I think that the NFL wanted desperately for the Patriots to be in the Super Bowl for financial reasons, and it certainly appears from the past five Patriots games after they lost to the Dolphins and got in trouble. And since that time, the Patriots have been called for 110 yards in penalties, their opponents 390.
Okay, didn't want to answer the question, so we'll hang up and move on. Yes or no? Was it a conspiracy or not?
No.
Of course the league wanted the Patriots in the Super Bowl. That's not even really questionable. And
if they wanted the Patriots in the Super Bowl, why'd they let them play downfield?
But my question is, was there a conspiracy to change calls or call the game a certain way so that they would get that result?
All right, I'll be softer. Okay, Zolak?
He's the best. He's always got his points ready. All his facts.
And I want to check the Miles Jack play right now.
Where's Murray?
I do.
Megaphone. Oh, it's Carlton.
Should ask him how many times LeGarrette Blount fumbled as an Eagle this year.
Oh, good one, Jim.
Wee.
Good one.
Look at Louth. Louth is sneaky, dirty, nasty Jim Louth today. His little drops, his little zingers. Give me the Ben Affleck old guy from Minnesota again. Come on.
Give me that. Beatles looking up his thing. You want to hear Deion Lewis on Amendola
yes.
after the game?
Yeah, yes. I heard this, but I want to hear it again.
Amendola's a f- animal. A f- animal. I'm cussing. I don't care. He's an animal. He's a beast. He's a beast.
I swear words.
I'm cussing. I don't care. He's an animal. He's a beast.
All right. Okay, Miles Jack has the ball, but I don't know. Deion Lewis may have kicked him. Let's see. It's definitely.
Oh, no, he was untouched.
He was? Okay.
Just blew the whistle. I mean, they blew the whistle.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying, had they not blown the whistle, what would have happened here? We'll know right here. Ready, Zoe? Yeah, he didn't catch him.
Had they not blown the whistle, it was a touchdown.
Yeah, no. He's right.
That guy runs like a 4-4, doesn't he?
Yeah, there's nobody there. Oh, well. Yeah. Oh. Sorry.
Sorry
about that. Carlton. All right, today's takeaways.
It's in the bag, guys.
Coming up right after this.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger Maz coming up at the top of the hour with Jim Murray, who looks like a champ today. With the
he doesn't look nervous.
A close game. I mean,
he does not look nervous.
Nailed it. Yep. Guy with a clue. You know, heart attack game.
Sure.
Said it all week long.
Oh, what did we get? We were having
heart attack game. Yeah. Said everyone was overlooking the Jags. He was right.
Mm-hmm.
He was right.
He sure was.
Only one between those hours of 2 and 6.
Yep. It was.
We played Tangway earlier. You're wondering why he's in New York going over the... Yeah.
Yes. We have more on that?
They just arrived in Philly. Going to the enemy.
So they're going behind enemy lines
so
first.
So standard.
And they're already in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they are moving.
Making good progress.
Making good time.
You know what they should do? Put him in a Patriots jersey and wait till about 9 o'clock at night and have him walk down a couple streets.
There are animals down there.
Should go see if the poles are still greased down there.
They should rent a dune buggy for him and see if he could drive up the stairs in a Tom Brady jersey.
I mean, just think about the convention of people that will be in Minneapolis 2 weeks from now. Yeah. Every meathead from Philly.
Sure. Yeah, I got my slick back hair. Hey, Vinny.
Couple of mass holes.
Right. How come Felger's not riding out with Tangway? You thought like old times.
I'm talking about the fans of each team. I mean, talk about two cities that will...
Insufferable.
Not shy away from the bar fight the night before the Super Bowl.
There's going to be dust-ups.
Blood in the streets.
It's going to be the first Super Bowl in a long time where there's going to be fights.
Blood in the streets of Minneapolis.
Right. Okay.
There will.
Do you know, after all the talk and the greasing of the light poles.
City workers with interesting buckets phrasing. Of Crisco.
Yeah, out there and all the celebrating and all the stuff going. Do you know how many arrests there were last night?
Oh, they probably didn't even try. Probably zero.
Six.
Oh, six. That's high.
They probably encouraged
high
it.
Number. How about the guy who drove his dune buggy up the rocky steps?
That was awesome.
Drove it right up the steps all the way to the top last night.
It's fun when you burn your own city down.
It's sort of impressive.
His dune buggy. And then he drove it 88 miles an hour to go back to 1977 where he came from. Dune buggy. Did it have the big whip flag on it?
It did.
So you can see it over the
dunes.
Orange
one. It's the orange one. Yes. Yep.
Dune buggy.
Where do you even get
dune
one?
Buggy in Philadelphia?
Where did you even get one?
Where did he
Seriously,
drive from?
Where do you get
Where does he live?
Yeah, you're right. It's not an off-road.
He doesn't live in Philly. He drove from outside the city.
It's not a John Deere thing.
He drove from the Jersey Shore last night to Philadelphia to drive up the steps with that.
It's Pauly from the Jersey Shore.
And of course, someone
parked
taped
down the
it.
Street in front of his row house somewhere in Philly.
Here's the commercial. If you were watching the game last night, Tom Brady, Tom versus Time, that I appeared in.
What are you willing to do, and what are you willing to give up to be the best you can be? You only have so much energy, and the clock's ticking on all of us. If you're going to compete against me, you better be willing to give up your life, because I'm giving up mine.
Brady, end zone touchdown!
Father Time is undefeated.
If he slips or doesn't look the same way coming out of the gate in 2017, what are we talking about?
There's a warrior spirit about me.
Uh-huh.
I'm always in competition.
Here's Zolak in the background.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right.
How much we get paid for that?
Tom Brady definitely knew about deflating the footballs until he didn't know about deflating the footballs.
Correct.
That's where Zoe says, correct. Correct.
No, not correct.
Correct. Incorrect?
Hey, you like him a certain way, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just on the light
likes
end.
Likes him a certain way. Uh-huh. Okay.
On the squishy side.
There was an answer post-game last night that maybe, it's to the point now where you wonder if Tom is scripting his answers post-game because he knows they will fit nicely into the documentary.
I thought, out of all the plays, my season can't end on a handoff in practice.
Just these nice little things are going to be, you know, are going to show up in that documentary.
I think he scripts what he says to the ticket taker over there at Chestnut Hill when he goes to the Super Lux.
It's all
everything
scripted.
Is just calculated. Might
to
be
the songs, to
it.
The songs from the day, including this one on Danny Amendola.
Didn't look good with 9 minutes left. The Pats trailed by 10 when they lined up for first and goal. G-O-A-L, goal.
A first and goal to go from the 9.
Rob got bumped and Brandon was cooked. But then Brady said, I can always find Amendola.
Looks down the middle.
D-O-L-A, Dola.
Catch by Amendola.
Danny Amendola.
We got life. Somebody making a play. It's Danny Amendola.
They were down by 3.
Takes the snap.
They needed to score.
The play fakes Dwight.
Go up by 4.
He looks down the middle.
So Tom said please.
He fires and the ball is.
Danny, can you catch one more for me?
Caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola. Touchdown. Patriots.
Amendola.
Bend the ground.
And now they'll play ball. Super Bowl in Minnesota.
Danny
Amendola.
Playoff Amendola.
Danny Amendola.
Somebody on his drive.
Amendola
elevates.
Danny Amendola.
1 foot.
What a catch.
2 foot.
Amendola.
Oh my
left
God.
Left toe tap in the back of the end zone.
Danny Amendola.
Clutch.
Again, my favorite part is hearing Sosie and Zolak react to the replay and being able to kind of talk about it again.
He's out.
Like, he gets 1 foot, 2 feet. Oh, my God.
I knew he had the one down. I didn't know that he tipped the second.
I thought that it was going to get overturned. Watching it real time.
Well, then you're waiting. Well, yeah. Did he complete it through the ground? That's how we're trained.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
You can't enjoy anything in the moment anymore.
Right. The NFL's ruined it all.
It's ruined.
Ruined. Ruined the whole damn thing.
Okay. Well, then. That means it's the end of our show.
Was Big Jim Worry right to be worried?
Apparently he was. On the money. On the money. I hope Carlton starts calling Felger Maz again.
All right, say the Miles Jack would have been a touchdown.
That'd be fun. Maybe those two should talk to each other again.
All right, we're back at it. 10 a.m. tomorrow. You going to be here, Zoe?
I'll be here, buddy.
Be here. Hardy,
yes,
will be here.
Yeah. Hardy will be back.
Shaughnessy will be here, too. We'll do that tomorrow. Okay? Bye.